Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents To Kill the Dead by C.S. Wilde. Narrated by Chris Dukart and Tim Page. 1. Rushed breaths rang in Mara's ears, and sweat beaded on her forehead as she sprinted down the sidewalk, dodging passers-by and pushing people aside. "We never catch a damn break, do we?" she shouted, without looking up to the ferry flying 10 feet above her. But she followed his shadow on the concrete.
"Hard to say," Bast replied in her head, using their mind link. "Given our history, it seems we're magnets for trouble."
"Yes, we are." Huffing, she tried to catch the culprit darting through the crowds ahead. The asshole was fast, and Clifftown's packed streets certainly didn't help. Mara had spent years in the academy training to be a detective. Years. Every investigator in the city went through the same arduous pain-in-the-neck process, and yet there they were, chasing a lunatic who'd just bitten off a woman's face. Not a detective's job. They'd barely gotten off the train to Clifftown when they'd seen it happen. Since they were the only police officers around, they had to go after him. Just their luck. Not even 5 minutes back home and already they were chasing a random criminal. They should have arrived at the precinct by now to start their new investigation. In fact, they had been assigned to their latest case specifically at Mara's request, because, one, she missed the human burrow, and two, Julian. She hadn't spoken with her former partner since leaving for Lunar Insul. When Mara returned to the mainland, she and Bast were swamped with work, courtesy of both Ruth and Captain Asherath. A serial wolf killer in Lycany, a vamp gang's murder streak in Kazania, a mad sprite in Tir na n'og, and just recently a missing witch in Evanora. They had been sent out through Hollowcliff to solve the hardest of crimes, and they'd cracked their cases each and every one. Sure, solving the Summer King's murder, their first case together, had kickstarted the Inter-Borough Cooperation Program. But Mara and Bast's latest achievements had catapulted them into the spotlight. The police force marketed them as the greatest example of borough unity and collaboration. Yet Mara wasn't in this to be famous, and neither was Bast, so they refused to do any publicity. Still, many began comparing them to Mara's favorite fictional detectives, Sheehan Rolmes and John Quatson. Their stories might have been gruesome for a 14-year-old, but Ruth didn't care. She would always read them to Mara late at night. Actually, those books had sparked her interest in solving crimes. That, and the fact her Ruth, was a police captain herself. In any case, Mara had been so busy these past few weeks that she barely had time to call Julian. She'd tried a couple of times, but he never answered. Okay, she deserved the silent treatment. She'd completely forgotten about him during the shit show with Bast's family and all the cases that followed. But how could he blame her for that? Mara had been jumping from burrow to burrow. It was part of her new job description. Bast cleared his throat from above. Shit. Had he listened to her thoughts?
"We better hurry, kitten,"
he said out loud, no inch of a reaction in his tone, thankfully. Mara must be getting better at blocking him from her mind.
"That suket is fast."
Bast's gray wings blew gusts atop her as he lowered, and his strong arms quickly hooked beneath hers. With one swoop, he lifted Mara off the ground. Her feet dangled in the air, while down below the culprit ran with inhuman speed. Concealed by a black hoodie and ragged pants, he pushed people out of his way so hard they landed several feet away from him. Probably a junkie, high on Fey Crystal, Mara guessed.
"That would explain the strength, but not the speed. My bet is a rogue warlock."
"Either way, we should have called a local patrol to deal with this." She clicked her tongue. "We're already late for the meeting with the cap."
"Perhaps, but we are Hollowcliff's finest, aren't we?"
He turned her slightly to the side, showing her a billboard that featured a werewolf and a witch wearing clothes similar to theirs. The witch with a white shirt, black leather jacket and jeans, and the wolf with a white shirt, black vest and pants, which wasn't even the uniform Lycanian detectives used, but whatever. The billboard's big bold text read, "Apply today and become one of Hollowcliff's finest." Followed by Tigradian Police, "We're stronger together." Pride swelled in Mara's core. It didn't mix well with the need to roll her eyes. She was glad that inter-borough cooperation had an all-time high, but the unwanted attention could be a pain.
Even then, as they dashed through the sky, some people pulled out their phones and took pictures of them, a mix of awe and curiosity on their faces. The memory of Professor Currenter's voice rang in her mind.
Small actions can have enormous consequences, little fry.
Grim tentacles slithered around her chest, squeezing it. How she wished she could speak to him again.
It hurts how much you miss him,
Bast stated quietly. Apparently she wasn't that good at keeping her feelings from him. Looking up and fully intending to tell her partner to mind his own business, she lost a breath to the beauty of Sebastian Day. Moon-white strands of hair fluttered wildly in the wind, whipping around the sharp lines of his cheekbones and squared jaw. His blue gaze matched the sky above, his attention fixed on the culprit. But there was more to Bast than just a pretty, scratch that, gorgeous semblance. He always stood by her side, no matter what, and he understood her in ways Mara herself sometimes couldn't. After everything they'd been through, the fairy was finally cracking her tough skin. And soon, focus on the running maniac, she chided herself.
Nah, view's much better from here,
her siren replied. Forcing herself to glance down, Mara spotted the hooded man turning into a small street that led toward the 10th district. Great, she grumbled under her breath. Also known as the Scraps, the 10th district consisted of abandoned warehouses from the industrial age. It lined the River Tigris, a mighty waterway that cut through Clifftown, only to debouch at the ocean miles away. The densely packed warehouses and the river posed their own problems for catching criminals, but the real danger of the 10th district was the old underground. Its vast network of forsaken tunnels turned the Scraps into a perfect getaway for fugitives. Bast's wingspan didn't fit into the narrow street, so he went higher, chasing the offender from above the buildings. Mara caught brief glimpses of the hooded man. Each time he passed under a concrete ledge, she couldn't tell if he would enter a building or keep going. The closer the constructions got to the line of water at the end of the street, the higher the chances that they harbored entrances to the old underground. We'll lose him.
Hallie, you're going to throw up.
What? A sharp force yanked her from behind, enveloping her in endless darkness. Mara floated amidst the night sky, drifting past stars that blinked in the distance. She couldn't tell up from down, and her stomach lurched at the sudden weightlessness. Her russet locks floated around her as a gripping cold bit at her fingers. It was like falling and not falling at the same time, hanging between two different realms. If Bast hadn't been holding her tight, she might have drifted off into the vast obsidian. Ahead, a slit cut through the darkness, an industrial cityscape peeking through it. The slit sucked them out, nearly pulling Mara's skin off her body. Her mind spun as she crashed on the hard ground.
Holy!
She bent over and threw up her lunch. Mara had never winnowed before, and fuck if she'd ever do it again. Flying was way better, not to mention she never threw up when they flew.
How did you winnow here?
She stammered, wiping her mouth with the sleeve of her black leather jacket.
You've never been to the Scrap District.
I pulled the location from your mind. I suppose our link goes deeper than we imagined.
He clicked his tongue.
Fuchstock. He took a turn. Hold on.
He grasped her shoulder, and before she knew it, Mara plummeted into the endless nothing again, her stomach falling on itself. It lasted an eye blink, and then they arrived at an empty parking lot.
God damn it, Bast!
Her vision blurred, and Mara thought she might throw up again. This time, however, she kept it in, probably because she'd already emptied her stomach after the first time. Her balance was off, but she managed to stay upright. Turning to her side, she found Bast bent over his knees, his breathing labored.
Bast?
I'm fine,
he assured between shallow breaths. Winnowing consecutively took a toll on a Fae, especially one who had recently learned how to do it. His brother Corvus could winnow several times before feeling weak, but Bast's magic worked differently. Stepping closer, she assessed him.
Are you sure?
Nodding, he pointed to something up ahead. A vast parking lot covered in cracks and weeds stretched before them, with an abandoned warehouse at the back. Not far from them, a whip of darkness wrapped around the man they'd been chasing, like a boa constrictor. The rope of night and stars connected to Bast's feet. Damn. Even while drained from winnowing, he'd used his magic to trap the undead. Mara patted his shoulder. I got this, partner.
Pulling out one of the two guns from the double holster under her jacket, she aimed at the guy's head. Bast's line of darkness retreated to his core. The male stood still, his eyes shining a lime green, while the rest of his face remained shadowed by the hood. Maybe Bast had been right. The asshole must be a rogue warlock. Fae Crystal didn't make a junkie's eyes glow.
You chose the wrong day to misbehave, dickface. Mara shouted. You're under arrest. Raise your hands.
Slowly he did. The culprit was in bad shape. Bad, bad shape. The gray skin on his hands peeled off in certain areas, revealing what could only be rotting flesh underneath. The man had managed to outrun them, which must have been epically hard considering Bast could fly, and he wasn't even panting. How could someone in his condition do that? He would probably drop dead once the magic that fueled him dissipated. Mara stepped closer, but not too close. Warning bells rang in her head, telling her something was off.
You have the right to remain silent, she went on. Anything you say may be used against you in a court of law. Drop on the ground, hands behind your back.
A hiss came from under the hood.
Sir,
Mara warned, I don't miss when I shoot, even from this distance.
I am no sir,
he countered, his voice sounding like whispers in the wind. When he raised his head, the hoodie fell back to reveal more gray, patchy skin hanging off his cheeks and forehead, plus two dark slits where his nose should have been. Patches of black hair peppered his scalp, and his teeth were brown and rotting.
He's dead,
Bast stated the obvious from behind her, his breath still awfully ragged. Crap. Mara had never seen a walking dead before. Jim Branson from the 7th Precinct in Lycany once told her he'd caught one when he was younger. He'd seemed shaken as he told Mara the story, even though at least 20 years had passed since then.
The girl was half bone, half flesh.
His voice echoed in her memory.
A decrepit thing with glowing purple eyes, and an angry cry in her throat that didn't come from her corpse. No, Detective Maria.
Jim gulped.
The screams came from her soul.
Mara hated the undead. Hated the concept of them, hated the movies about them, hated them with everything she had. The dead man grinned, nearly splitting open his cheeks, as if somehow he'd recognized her.
Master, are you sure?
Who was he talking to? The prick's bright green eyes probably matched the essence of the witch or warlock who'd brought him back. Aha, he must be talking to the necromancer.
Mara, step back.
Bast croaked.
He might infect you.
Could he, though? Jim had lost his gun when he'd grappled with the undead woman. The moving corpse bit him, yet Jim had been fine. Apparently not all walking dead were created equally. Infectious or not, the simple possibility of a contagious undead was the reason why they had a kill order on sight, along with sirens and necromancers. Need I remind you that an iron bullet kills you for real? Mara kept her tone steady, though the sight of him raised the hairs on the nape of her neck. Drop on the ground, now. The man chuckled to himself as if he'd heard a funny joke.
You'll keep a walking dead in your jail.
I might.
We both know you won't. The undead have no rights.
He glanced back toward the river, then turned to her.
Tell Morgan, I wanted us to be together. That's why I bit her.
I think your victim won't give two shits about your excuses. You chunked off half of her face, asshole.
You're right.
He sighed out of habit, since he couldn't have any air in his lungs.
There's only one way this ends.
And how's that? His lime-green eyes burned brightly.
With me, taking you to Master.
2. The dead man lunged at Mara, his movements incredibly quick. She fired, hoping the iron bullet would do its job, but the bastard was faster than a werewolf on meth, so he easily dodged it. If he had pumping blood in him, Mara could have blown him to pieces, but all her macabre could sense was an unmoving, pasty mess in his veins. Stale, dead blood didn't react to her commands. She couldn't even slow him down. How did he move so fast? The dead man jumped onto her, and time seemed to stall. Mara noticed his rotting skin, his gaping mouth and his decaying teeth, ready to bite a chunk off her face, like he'd done with the innocent woman on the street. In those few seconds that stretched for eternity, she figured she'd survived many things in her life. Her mother, Manic She, bloodthirsty vamps. Truth be told, Mara should be proud to have made it this far. A horrid bellow burst from behind her, a sound of pure and complete pain. Best. Time caught up as a storm of night and stars flashed past her and slammed into the undead, throwing him as far as the abandoned warehouse in the distance. His corpse smashed through a window. Mara rushed to Bast in time to catch him mid-fall, her knees hitting the floor along with his. Wrapping her arms around her partner, she cradled him. Bast's face pressed to the nook between her neck and shoulder, and she gently set a hand on the back of his head. "Partner, what did you do?" Mara tried not to panic at his shallow breathing, forcing herself to ignore how limp his body seemed. Desperation could be a dangerous thing for a detective, but she held Bast tighter anyway. "Please tell me you're okay."
"Must winnow more,"
he grumbled drowsily.
"To get better."
"Stubborn ass Fae. You used your magic after winnowing 2 times in a row." She carefully laid him on the floor, wiping a lock of silver hair off his face. "That's remarkable, you dickwart. Now stay here and recover." She gave him the remaining gun in her double shoulder holster. "I'm going after him." Despair flashed behind Bast's blue eyes, and he tried to hold her wrist, but his grip was so weak. Poseidon in the trenches, she didn't want to leave him.
"Kitten, please."
"I got this." She gave him an assuring nod, then headed to the warehouse, her gun in hand. Fact. The dead man was fast. Remarkably so for someone with barely any muscle, which meant Mara had to anticipate his attacks. Her siren scoffed. Easier said than done. Yeah. Carefully entering the cavernous space, Mara assessed every inch of the place, her gun in hand. She found the broken window, but no sign of the dead man. Only shattered glass on the ground. The warehouse was quiet, which could be an advantage. She would hear the bastard coming, and sure enough, the sound of boots thumping against concrete came from the far left. The dead man uttered a shattered roar that echoed throughout the warehouse as he rushed toward her, his voice something out of a horror story, like his soul was leaking through his mouth. Once again, he lunged at her, but Mara swiveled on her feet and dodged him. The dead man's boots dragged on the ground as he landed. Making a quick turn, he boosted toward her again, this time zigzagging his way. The asshole or his necromancer was smart, but Mara knew what to do. With her magic, she called forward a string of river water from outside, slowing down its particles until it morphed into ice. The spear shot towards the warehouse as the dead man ran at her. The moment he jumped, his rotting fingers inches from Mara, the spear broke through the window. It impaled him from the left side of his neck down to his right thigh, before piercing through the floor. He thrashed and howled, clawing at her, but he couldn't break free. Black, gooey blood ran down the ice, yet he didn't seem to be in any pain. Mara waited until he calmed, until he realized there was no way out for him.
"Master made me do it,"
he whimpered.
"I'm sorry."
It was plausible. A necromancer's will always trumped that of the undead, yet Mara didn't quite believe him. "Did he also force you to bite off a woman's face?" He froze. Yeah, that had been all him. "Tell me where I can find the necromancer who raised you."
"I can't."
A certain peace suddenly came over him.
"We know about your little secret, by the way."
He glanced down at the ice spear running through his body. "We?" Poseidon in the trenches. The witch or warlock on the other side could see what the dead man saw. They knew Mara was a siren. Shit, shit, shit. How could she have been so careless? Waterbending had been the only way to catch the bastard, of that she was certain. It also meant that Mara would have to kill him at some point to keep her secret safe. It was either her life or his, but considering the man's state, dead as fuck, the decision was kind of obvious. It still sucked, though. Swallowing dry, she lifted her gun and aimed at his head. A thorny sensation thrashed in her gut because she was a hypocrite. Killing a creature who, like her, had an immediate kill order on their head felt wrong. If she didn't do it, however, someone in the precinct would. Not to mention the undead could blab about her waterbending. So could the necromancer now. Bad outcomes, no matter what. "Where's your master?" she insisted, trying to hide the fear in her tone.
"So you may end their life to keep your secret? Don't worry, detective. When the time comes, Master will find you. Until then, consider yourself safe.
Well,
safe-ish.
He chuckled, while sirens rang in the distance. Straining forward as much as he could, he faced her gun's muzzle.
You should hurry. This doesn't look good for you.
She hated doing what they wanted, hated playing their game, whatever it might be, but he had a point. The undead might not have rights, but that didn't make what she had to do next any easier. Mara closed her eyes and fired, cringing at the fleshy sound of the bullet piercing through the culprit's brain. When she opened her eyes, the dead man was staring down at her, the lime-green glow slowly fading from his irises.
Master, we'll be seeing you again.
His corpse fell limp on the ice spear. The officers who arrived at the scene, Jack Robb plus a rookie Mara didn't know, updated her and Bast on the girl whose face had been bitten. A Morgan Schmidt, who had been directed to Clifftown Regional. Considering the hospital had the best doctors and healers in the county, she should be well enough for questioning within a few hours.
The undead's name was Fred Johnson,
Jack informed them, his voice echoing through the warehouse. Jack was a fine officer. He had helped Mara and Julian in some of their past cases.
Cause of second death, bullet to the head,
he told his colleague in a lower tone, pointing to the body.
Wait, was he impaled?
Mara's shoulders lifted and dropped. Maybe that's how he originally died. With one twist of her hand, the ice had melted away, rushing back to the river. The officers could never trace the wound back to her. Zero evidence left.
What a terrible way to go,
Jack muttered to himself.
I'll let Captain Maria know you're on your way. Take your time, though.
Jack motioned to Bast, who stood beside her.
Detective Day looks like he might need some rest. Fae aren't weak like humans,
Bast snapped, his pride getting the best of him even if he was still incredibly pale. Sorry for that, Jack. He gets cranky when he's hungry. Mara tapped Bast's shoulder before nodding to the exit of the warehouse. Come on, partner, let me get you a coffee. Rosie's was Mara's favorite coffee shop, located only 4 blocks away from the scrap district. They had almost reached it when Bast tugged her hand gently, leading them into an alley next to the shop. Pressing her against the bricked wall, he played with a lock of her hair.
What a welcome we've had into your burrow. I didn't have time to tell you how beautiful you look today.
She gave him a sly grin. Someone's feeling better. Also, this is the way I look every day.
Exactly.
Oh, what this mail did to her. Mara cleared her throat, staring at him from below her eyebrows. Detective, this is highly inappropriate. She knew that, he knew that. They both didn't care. Leaning in, Bast kissed her, his soft lips brushing against hers. A moan escaped from her mouth into his, and she wrapped her arms around his shoulders as she deepened their kiss. Mara's need for him burned her from the inside out. Granted, she'd been in love with Julian for a long time, but she always had control when it came to him. With Bast, however, she edged closer to madness with each passing day. Her feelings for him terrified her. They lacked logic or common sense, consuming her like a wildfire. She was utterly helpless. Bast said they were connected by a golden string, that they were meant to be. In Clifftown, the concept of soulmates was considered absurd. In Atlantia, her people called it a pairing. Wolves, witches, and vamps called their better halves mates, and in Tir na n'og, they simply called it heart. Heart. Before meeting Bast, Mara would have dismissed the idea as nonsense. She'd been raised in the human burrow, after all. She didn't believe in soulmates as much as she didn't believe in Santa Claus or the boogeyman. Now she didn't know what to think. Maybe their connection was real. Maybe Bast was her heart, as insane as it sounded. How else could she explain her lack of control when it came to her partner? They kissed until Mara's mouth felt numb, and even then she didn't want to stop. A miracle, really, that all they'd done since Lunar Insole had been kissing. The more time they spent together, the more Mara felt herself approaching a cliff, so very close to losing her precious restraint. Soon she would fall. Bast's body pressed harder against hers, his arousal poking between her legs. Her doubts and fears vanished from her mind instantly along with her common sense. You evil fairy, Mara grumbled between burning kisses that left her breathless, her most intimate part soaking wet. All she wanted was to take off her pants and give herself to him right there. Hell yes, her siren cheered. No! Doing it in public was a crime. Not only that, but jeopardizing their working relationship was a terrible idea. They'd achieved so much as partners. Not to mention, they still had to catch Poseidon. Mara didn't want to face him without Bast. Clutching what little self-control she had left, she broke free of his embrace. Come on, partner, you need to eat something. As soon as they entered the cafe, the smell of freshly baked bread and brewing coffee filled Mara's nostrils. Bliss. She left Bast at a small table near the window before going to order. One double espresso for him, black as his soul, and one mocha cappuccino for her. Also, two roast beef sandwiches for them. After all, Bast needed to regain his energy, and Mara was starving after throwing up her lunch.
I had never seen an undead before,
he stated quietly when she returned with their orders. Me neither. She pushed his sandwich forward before biting a chunk of her own. Could be bad news, partner.
Indeed.
Following her lead, he took a bite, then sipped his coffee.
This could delay our Poseidon investigation. Not that it's been fruitful.
Since returning from Lunar Insol, they hadn't found the time to dig into Poseidon, or the Crown of Land and Sea, which was annoying. Sometimes Mara wondered if Ruth and Captain Asherath had drowned them in new cases on purpose, even if they had no clue about their secret investigation. The Cap, could always sense when Mara was hiding something, so she needed to tread carefully. Yeah, things have been pretty busy, she added mindlessly. Ruth had finally assigned them an easy case in Clifftown, a politician's murder. In fact, it was so easy they had solved it on their way there. The wife had done it, but they could have dragged out the investigation and used the spare time to focus on Poseidon. With a necromancer on the loose, however, digging into the criminal who called himself a god would be impossible. As always, Ruth would give the precinct's biggest case to the available detectives with the best solve rates, meaning Mara and Bast. Great. Finishing her sandwich, she stared out the large window and onto the street. Bast observed her as he sipped his double espresso. Only breadcrumbs remained on his plate.
Will you tell him?
Tell who what?
Julian. Tell him that we kissed and...
He leaned forward, holding her gaze as a sinful grin spread on his lips. Raising his index and middle fingers together, he winked at her.
Tell him how I made you scream my name.
Oh, those fingers. Her siren cooed as memories of their time in Lunar Insol flashed in Mara's mind. Bast? A deep blush rose to her cheeks. What we do isn't anyone's business, especially not Jules. His amusement vanished as he leaned back in his chair.
I see.
He's getting the wrong idea. Do something, her siren urged. Partner, it's not that simple. She pinched the bridge of her nose, sensing the onset of a headache. Look, if we do this, and that's a big if, we won't be able to tell people.
People in general, or Julian?
People in general, obviously. She finished her coffee, then set it on the table. He was my partner before you. He deserves some consideration, doesn't he?
No.
Bast!
Fine.
He studied her through narrowed eyes.
Did you ever do what we do with him?
You mean solving cases? Of course.
Mara.
His tone held a playful warning that sent butterflies to her belly. Jealous, Detective Day? Watching his espresso, he rolled his shoulders casually.
Your deflection skills are remarkable.
Not a yes or no. Interesting. We never did what you and I do. Never even kissed. He never touched me the way you have. Happy? He looked up, and a wolfish grin cut across his face.
Extremely. I can't wait to continue what we started.
His low, sensual voice sent desire pooling between her thighs. A chill ran down her spine, fear mingling with anticipation. But she couldn't hide her eager smile. Pompous prick.
I see it as a game.
He cocked his head to the side, eyeing her in the way of a tiger about to pounce.
Let's see how long your self-control lasts, kitten.
3. The moment Mara stepped into the precinct with Bast, all her colleagues rushed closer, trapping them in a small crowd. They cheered Hollowcliff's finest and fired 1,000 questions at once. How does it feel to be a superstar? Well, I wouldn't... What was the toughest case you had? Oh, it's...
Sample complete. Ready to continue?